Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, May 26, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. What's up? I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 494 of the Biden-Harris administration, 162 days until the 22 midterms. I'm on Instagram. My handle is TheBobSeska. Follow me, please. Please clap. And I'm on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And sitting right over there, it's the Goth Ninjas. Yeah. Ah, there they are. It is, who are the Goth Ninjas? I forget. It's Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/from the bunker. And David Ferguson, we like to call him T-Rex. His music project is astralsummer.bandcamp.com. All right. Yeah. Can you tell? I'm in need of a vacation. I need to take at least a week off, and I'm trying to schedule when I take a week off. It's probably going to be sometime toward the end of June, beginning of July, somewhere in there. I don't know why I'm talking about it now. It's on my mind.
You're preparing everybody. That's all.
Exactly. Exactly right. It's been since the holidays, since I had a moment away. So I'm looking forward to that. But the most important thing, besides talking about guns and what happened in Texas, we're gonna get to that in a second. But before we jump into that, I wanted to alert everyone to a GoFundMe that is out there. It's started by this guy, Steve Schaefer. He's on our Patreon page. It's called David Needs Wheels, and it's going to help.
This is so sweet.
It's going to help you get a replacement car, right? It's nothing fancy.
Yeah, because the insurance company is really jerking me around. I mean, it has been a complete nightmare.
Yeah.
They tore apart my car apparently to do the inspection. Yeah. It was drivable when I got there, but now it's just in pieces, and now they want to total it, but they're like, it's
yeah,
it's
what shitty. A pain in the ass. Yeah, there's nothing
fun about
it.
Just back and forth. You know, I showed them like, but the thing is about this model of car is that there's been a big surge of interest in them. And so they've been hunted to extinction. And the ones like from the same year as mine with like 40,000 less miles on it, there's one selling for more than its original MSRP in Atlanta. Like,
do you have a DeLorean?
The original MSRP on a Honda CRZ in 2014 was 19.9.
All right.
And there's one with 30,000 miles on it, a 2014 just like mine, and it's selling for 22.9.
Gotcha. Okay. Now I got it.
More than it was when it was new. And they want to write off my car for $1,300.
Oh, my God. That is next level fuckery right there. I've got a link in the description for this GoFundMe. Again, it's called David Needs Wheels. I'm sure you can search for those words on GoFundMe. But as I said, I'll include a link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com so you can go and support David's car situation. So that's really important. Especially
another thing, like on the 11th, they told me they had submitted a maintenance plan to Geico for approval, like from the garage.
Yeah.
So when they were telling me they were going to total it, I was like, well, let me see that plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I want to know how much the total. And they were like, we'll get that right over to you, sir. And so I got
awful,
it.
Awful.
And they're PDFs, and I open them up, and the metadata says that they were, you know, written 15 minutes after I had made that call asking for them. There was no original care plan ever submitted to the insurance company. They were just going to tear apart my car and total it.
It's on par for most auto insurance companies. That's so often what happens. Okay, well, good. Thanks to Steve for setting up this GoFundMe. And as I said, link in the description. Meantime, we've got
He suggested to me that I should do it. And I was like, dude, I got so much pushback just for having one for my dying cat. So he went ahead and...
Who the hell's pushing back against you for your dying cat, GoFundMe?
Oh, you didn't hear that story? I got an angry letter from a woman who I have no idea who she was in California.
Yeah.
But I looked up her cell phone number online and I called her. Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Okay. All right. All right.
And I was like, so what the hell is your problem?
Yeah. Well, meantime, we have a little bit of breaking news here from the Associated Press. Senate Republicans blocked the domestic terrorism bill that would have opened debate on gun measures after the Texas school shooting. So once again, the Republican Party, the party of terrorism. And you know what? Every time I've been tweeting about that, like, hey, everybody, look, they're the party of terrorism. They're the pro-Putin party, pro-terrorism party. Good God, we've got to keep repeating this over and over again. Every single time I tweet that, it's met with crickets chirping from people. I don't know why. I don't know why we're so resistant to all of the things that the Republicans are giving us to attack them with. You know, when they hand you a baseball bat and say, hey, look, here's a baseball bat. Here's my head. Swing away. And we go, I don't know. I don't think so. I'm just going to keep scrolling on this one. No, we got to keep saying this shit because they're doing it. This is what they're all about. They want to see more of these mass shootings. They're owned and operated by the gun lobby. Time and time again.
It's not even the gun lobby anymore. The NRA has really been brought down a few pegs. I mean, they're in bankruptcy and fighting for their lives in court.
Yeah. Well, there are other lobby groups besides the NRA that are active, for sure.
Gun manufacturers.
Yeah. And besides, you don't really need a brick and mortar gun lobby, you know, on K Street or whatever the cliche is, in order to funnel all kinds of pro-gun cash into Republican war chests. And that's been going on for some time now. Ted Cruz being the biggest recipient of that cash as far as members of Congress go. But I want to talk about Congress's role or lack of role in this in just a second. But before we dive in to all of the usual Republicans with their visible layers of slime, let's talk about the hero of the day yesterday. The great Beto O'Rourke. Holy shit.
Yeah.
What an astounding move that was in just the right time. I said to Wajahat Ali on the show yesterday that he scratched an itch that I think we all had. Like, okay, yes, I get.
Can you tell me about it? I only caught the bare outlines of it.
Yeah, which is exactly what I'm about to do. On a day when we saw Chuck Schumer trying his best, you know, he's a good guy. I think he's a guy who's best suited for 1990s politics, though. Yeah. Not the kind of politics we got now. We need a wartime majority leader running the Democratic
Party. I think he's best suited to be a maitre d' for a fucking swanky restaurant on the Upper West.
I'm not going to go that far, but I know that we're all frustrated because he just can't sell the outrage. He can't sell the toughness. It's not in his DNA.
He's not Chris Murphy.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, half the man Nancy Pelosi is.
Right.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi knows how to do it. But Chuck Schumer, you know, it's just one of those things. He's just not suited for this style of politics. He's suited for politics in a different time. So we're all looking at that and we're all going, when is someone going to stand up like Mallory McMorrow did weeks ago? And right as we're all thinking that, in comes Beto O'Rourke, storms into this meeting with Dan Patrick and Greg Abbott and Slippery Ted Cruz, and they were all wearing their Spirit Halloween cop costumes for some reason. Yeah. Did you guys see this? Like, why is Dan Patrick and Greg Abbott, he's the governor and lieutenant governor, respectively, why are they dressed up in fake cop costumes?
They're cosplaying police.
Yeah. Yeah. So in comes Beto O'Rourke, who was saying things like, this is on you, this is on you. I mean, he was directly confronting them. They were all up on the dais there, up on the stage. And this one guy, the mayor of Uvalde, couldn't be more stereotypical. It's like, I kept expecting him to say, is or is you ain't my constituency. You know, it was just like, it was right. One of those guys. It was like the typical guy with a Stetson and the accent and a couple of beats away from forming a posse. You know, in Dust Bowl
America. Get out of that room ahead of them Duke boys.
Exactly, yeah. He's like an extra from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou or something. Like, he should be on a horse, like lording himself over a bunch of convicts working on the rails with their striped shirts. I mean, that's the kind of guy that we heard from in this confrontation. And then not only did Beto O'Rourke confront these rat bastards, who are each one partly responsible for what happened in Uvalde.
Yep.
It happened on their watch. I mean, that's how we do politics in this country. If it happens and you're in charge, it's happened on your watch. So you're partly responsible. Put aside all of the awful legislation. You're in charge. You let this happen, period. But then Beto O'Rourke goes outside with this giant press gaggle and just keeps hammering away. And that's exactly the kind of shit we need. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I was saying this on Tuesday. When they come at you like this, we can't sit there and go, please work with us. Come on, come on. No, you hammer them. You work your way around their flanks and hit them from behind. That's how you do it. And we need a lot more of this. I think Beto O'Rourke, if he wasn't already, has just risen to the top of the, whatever it would be, 2028 presidential contenders list on the Democratic side. And his governor's race right now, I'm sure, got a huge charge. I really hope it energizes Texas Democrats to be able to support him, huh? Because getting rid of Greg Abbott, it's a big part of this process. And I think Beto has played this just right. He was on top of the thing at the border, which is another Greg Abbott fuck up. So between that and this, more like that, please. Please, more like Beto O'Rourke. We need more of that. So meantime, in terms of things that we need, obviously, I think, especially in the wake of this, we're all immensely frustrated with what happens now. What do we do? What can we do? How do we legislate this? What happens in Congress? What happens at the state legislature level? Well, I'm here to say that I think right now, sadly enough, especially with the way the balance of power is on the Hill, Congress is a dead end. I'm so sick and tired of beating our faces up against a brick wall with Congress. Congress, at least half of Congress, is owned by the gun lobby, is owned by this massive firearm retail empire in this country. So you're not going to get any movement, no matter how much Chuck Schumer asks nicely for Republicans to join him and figure out a compromise to do, you know, nibble away at the periphery of this madness in this country, this death industry. It's not going to happen. So I think what needs to happen, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, David and Jody, because I think we need to use the culture to start to roll back the allure of firearms. The same way we hit cigarettes for 20 years now, since the year 2000, this organization called the Truth Initiative, we've all seen the ads, have successfully demonized cigarette smoking to the point where even those of us who are ex-smokers pass by someone smoking a cigarette like, oh my God, what are you doing? It's just, they have managed to turn cigarette smoking into this pariah activity. It's almost like leprosy. We see them huddled under awnings during the rainstorm or something like that, puffing away. It smells terrible, looks terrible. It's deadly, of course. And so it's changed from, in American society, a society where everyone smoked. I mean, I smoked in malls, in restaurants, on airplanes. Those of us who were smokers, Gen X especially, did a lot of smoking in public places. I think we were the last generation really to do that. And prior to that, of course, cigarette smoke, everyone smoked. It was just like part of society. If you were a polite member of society, you would be smoking cigarettes and offering women to light their cigarettes and so on. But in the midst of that, this organization comes along and says, you know what? Fuck that. Fuck that idea that society is telling us that this is something that's cool and sexy and cinematic, when in fact it's actually quite deadly and it's ugly and it's rotting away your lungs and your cardiovascular system, and you're probably going to die prematurely because of it if you keep going. They went right after it. No flinching. I mean, with this ad campaign, we've all seen the commercials. It is brutal. Guys smoking cigarettes out of the trach holes in their necks.
Oh, yeah.
The CDC has also joined in with their own ad campaign that's been going on for, I would say, around a decade now. This is a big deal.
To a certain extent, that works on institutions, on getting people like driven outside of schools and restaurants and cafeterias and things. But teaching people about the evils of something, it's there. I was reading about this last year. There's a much more effective way to inure young people against being seduced by like cults or drugs, or, and it's when you look
guns.
At you get them before guns, and you say, someone's going, people like you have made this mistake.
Mm-hmm.
People who believe that they would never feel the need to own a gun or would have a gun unsecured in their home got guns anyway. Why? What do you think changed about them that made them, you know, that lowered? And, you know, there are some people who are just raised in these fucked up crazy homes where they post for their Christmas card family pictures with AR-15s or whatever. But
It's that part of the gun culture. It's all angles of it. We need to roll back this idea that there's something that's nostalgic about firearms or generational, like dads handing down the family rifle to their sons, and then the son inherits this rifle, this heirloom, and it's just, all of that is bullshit. All of that bullshit is feeding the gun culture. No more. You give them an inch and they take a mile. You give them an inch and say, oh yeah, responsible gun owners should be able to keep their fire. You know what? No, fuck that. We're well beyond that now, or at least we need to push beyond that. The effort needs to be so similar to the one that that targeted cigarette smoking and tobacco. And this is going to take decades. I'm not sitting here thinking that it's going to be a couple of years.
Tobacco thing, we didn't have the, you know, deep water horizon of disinformation that is Fox News and the talk. I mean, I feel like any position that the good guys take at this point, like, the other people will scream the opposite just to be screaming the opposite.
But I think, by and large, what we're targeting is not politics. We're not targeting members of Congress to change legislation or to add a new amendment to this or that or push for whatever. What we're doing is we're targeting individuals by turning around this notion that guns are nostalgic, that guns are cool, that guns will protect you from a home intruder. You know, the only people who should be stockpiling weapons are the following: cops, soldiers, people who have no choice but to shoot their own food, and criminals. Everyone else who owns a gun from that point forward is just a hobbyist, is just a collector of these cinematic looking, militaristic, well-designed firearms. And the problem with that is, much like, and I've been saying this for the last couple of days, so forgive me for repeating myself. The problem is that, much like car collectors, you know, you get a 1970 Porsche, right? Well, eventually you're going to want to take that out on the road and see what it can do.
Right.
The same way with firearms. You get a fucking AR-15 that looks like it's something out of a Mission Impossible movie, and you're going to want to eventually see what that fucking thing can do, what kind of stopping power it has, and whatever other terminology they use to define these things. Yeah.
That's why you should have to pay taxes on it, just like you would on a Maserati or a Porsche.
Yeah, that makes
insurance.
Sense. Yeah, insurance. That's I mean, but these are all
insurance, not taxes. I'm sorry. I'm
and taxes. Take it all.
Yeah, but these
and make the bullets $5,000 a piece, like Chris Rock, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Talked about years ago. Just make it so expensive to shoot the damn thing that you might think twice. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Nick Kristof had a whole piece in the New York Times about some proposals along those lines, very similar to what you're talking about. I go back to my original thesis at the top of all of this. There's nothing that's going to happen legislatively. We got to stop spinning our wheels and turn, well, maybe we can do this or that. And I'm just as responsible as anyone else for kind of ruminating over what can happen legislatively, especially when it comes to something like having trap laws for gun sales.
I love that idea.
Borrow the Republicans' anti-abortion tactic, state by state. And that's fine if you can have a state where there's a Democratic trifecta that supports gun safety, gun control measures. But anywhere else, it's just a non-starter. Anything like taxation, insurance, licensing, expanded background checks, even the smallest things. Like in the wake of Sandy Hook, for God's sake, Joe Manchin, ironically enough, and Pat Toomey, a Republican, got together. They created the Manchin-Toomey background checks amendment that would have expanded background checks, made it, I think it would have closed the gun show loophole. Just a couple of minor things, once again, nibbling around the edges of the problem. And the Republicans filibustered it. That was in the wake of 26 people in Sandy Hook Elementary being shot by a guy with an AR-15. Very similar to what happened in Uvalde the other day. It's a lot of wheel spinning.
There's a direct corollary, though, between the guns and the guns and masks and COVID.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're in permanent COVID limbo now.
Yeah.
Because there's just a huge chunk of the population that would rather get, you know, intubated and die than wear a mask.
Right, right. Well, now we're hearing the conga line of usual excuses and non-starter ideas from Republicans so they can, you know, earn their paycheck from the gun lobby and distract the conversation over to something that they'll never do anything about. Let's talk about mental health issues. That's the first big one that's popped up this time. Oh, it's because the guy was crazy and he went in and he shot the kids.
But they don't want to give health care with mental health in it.
Of course not.
And remember that Obama had a rule or a law or whatever. I think it was just a presidential thing to not allow people with mental illnesses to be able to procure guns. Guess who overturned that?
Donald Trump. Donald Trump overturned that law. It was one of the first things he did.
Yes.
The Republicans voted 100 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which guaranteed coverage for mental health conditions. There were 2,000 lawsuits against the Affordable Care Act. The effort by Republicans to overturn this piece of legislation, which once again guaranteed coverage for the very first time in American history, mandated coverage for mental health issues in this country. Republicans opposed it. They wanted it to go away. Donald Trump wanted it to go away. Mitch McConnell wanted it to go away. Greg Abbott cut funding for mental health in Texas. So if you're going to make it about mental health, my God, fucking do it. But don't just sit here and use it as a talking point, Ted Cruz, you rat bastard. Demonizing people with mental health issues. Yeah, right. Okay, so
it's like giving people pills that are yo-yos. Like, I'm going to, you know, like, it's like as soon as you swallow it, they yank it out again. You know, it's like mental health, okay, but we're not going to cover mental health. Or
no, absolutely not.
Have that baby, but oh no, you can't have formula for it.
Well, there are a couple of other ridiculous ideas, coincidentally promoted by Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz wants armed security guards. And only one door in every school.
Because that's safe during a fire.
Yeah, that's right. So Ted Cruz wants to save children from a mass shooter, but instead...
By creating the triangle shirtwaist factory situation.
Exactly.
I mean, he wants people to be trampled and to death and or die of smoke inhalation. What the fuck?
Right. Or the gunman, the would-be gunman, stands outside
that one entrance,
or stands outside the one door, and as everyone in the school is flooding through the one door. What a dumb fucking idea that is!
Yeah,
God! What a waste of energy! What a waste of breath that is! Yeah, one door. It's really fucking feasible. Try to get that past a fire code. Just the local fire code.
What a waste of good cheetah food.
Yeah. So in the Washington Post, they said two Uvalde police officers and a school resource officer fired at the shooter, but it did not stop him from entering that building. And then they sat outside the building. This is what everyone's talking about today in particular, that law enforcement sat outside that building for up to an hour while the gunman inside was murdering those kids in that classroom, 19 kids and an educator.
The argument was they couldn't get the key. I'm sorry, get a battering fucking ram. Yeah, you're in Kevlar.
One door.
Yeah.
You're in Kevlar, by the way. Children and their teachers are not wearing Kevlar.
Yeah.
And so therefore, a battering ram, crowbars, your batons, there are a lot of fucking things
that you could have done. Break a window.
Break a window. I mean, whatever, a battering ram is the thing. Call SWAT. They have them. Go get a fucking battering ram. Go to the local fucking hardware store and get giant pieces of wood. Do whatever the fuck it takes to get those fucking kids out of there. Several of them probably could have lived had the fucking cops gotten there in less than 43 fucking minutes. These fucking pro-death motherfuckers.
Spicy Jody.
Spicy Jody has entered the chat. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. What's worse about this situation with the Uvalde law enforcement is the fact that there were desperate, terrified parents waiting outside, watching them standing around and not doing a fucking thing.
Scratching themselves, wearing their Kevlar.
So what did the cops do? They tased a bunch of the parents.
Yeah.
They tased them and pinned them to the ground. You know, George Floyd style. That actually happened the other day on Tuesday. I mean, talk about dumb fuckery, but the broader point we're trying to make here is there's your security, Ted Cruz. There's your security. Congratulations. Yep. That worked out really fucking well. And this is all, you know what? They're not real ideas. These aren't actual ideas that are at all feasible. Well, you know what this is? This is Ted Cruz going, well, I can't condemn the gun industry, so let's invent some bullshit that I can put in its place. And that's what that is. It's just bullshit. It's bullshit for low information voters to,
it doesn't take any thought at all to think, I mean, one door, no, bad idea, fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an elementary, like, caveman level connection, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
The
gunman who killed 19 children and two teachers in a rural Texas elementary school on Tuesday entered the building despite being confronted by an armed school security officer, then wounded two responding police officers, and engaged in a standoff inside the school for over an hour. Police officials said, while gaps remained in the timeline of events, details emerged on Wednesday of a protracted scene of carnage at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde. What began around 11:30 a.m. with the first report of an armed man approaching the school ended as specialized officers breached a pair of adjoining classrooms and killed the gunman barricaded inside after 1 p.m., state officials said. So there's a pretty handy rundown of what the cops did and didn't do. I mean, security officers overrun. This is just, it's one a bit of fakery after another. It's all bullshit fakery from the Republicans. And they keep getting away with it. They every single time this happens, you can go back through the list of mass shootings in this country, which gets longer and longer and longer. And every single time the Republicans go, you know what, those Democrats with their proposals, like Ben Shapiro the other day, none of that works. Let's try this other thing that is guaranteed not to work.
Let's fill schools with unicorns. The whole hour that those poor teachers and those poor kids that survived and the ones that died along the way, they had to go through and what.
I don't want to make you cry, David. I already made Lonnie cry, but one parent saw this one little girl come out, you know, while he was waiting for his child, and this little girl was covered in blood. And he was like, are you okay?
Have
you
been injured?
Okay. And are you injured? And she said, no, I'm okay. It was my best friend. She tried to call 911 and she's not breathing. And he said, do you know what her name is? And it was his daughter.
Unfucking believable.
He was a paramedic and he's like cleaning the girl off and he's looking for injuries. Yeah. And he's like,
it's his own kid. I mean, yeah. I can't. And then this little girl obviously is going to be traumatized for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
With guilt from. Yeah.
Well, she's going to definitely have survivor's guilt, but just the trauma of watching it.
That's a lot of blood to water the tree of liberty with, you fucking assholes, you fetishists.
I fucking hate these people. I'm so tired of this bullshit. And it's like, oh, it's a mental illness. You know what? There's mental illness all over the planet, and we're the only country that allows this shit to happen, so fuck
you. I'm mentally ill as fuck, and I've never shot up a room full of people. I can tell you that. I mean,
yeah, I know.
Let's take five. Can we just chill for a second?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay, you all right? You all right, man?
I think about the parents.
Yeah.
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 You know, and
how do they go to sleep? How do they sleep? How do they ever get over this? I've known people in my life who have lost children, and they're never the same. It's just like it's taken a huge chunk out of them, and that's gone forever. And so it's immensely difficult to recover from something like this. And why did this happen? It happened because of gutless, cowardly, tiny, greedy little men like Ted Cruz, who would much rather have a all-expense-paid trip to Cancun. Thank you, gun lobby.
Yep.
Thanks for the junkets. Instead of actually protecting children from firearms. Life begins at conception, ends at birth. After that, as Carlin said, you're on your own. You're fucked. After
actually, you know what?
You're a fucking duck in a shooting gallery.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Carlin was wrong.
Yeah.
You're not even protected when you're in utero. Because they don't give the mother fucking prenatal care.
No, absolutely not.
They don't make sure she can eat properly or get the proper medical care that she needs to have a pregnancy that is successful in birthing a human.
Yeah,
yeah. So, Carlin was wrong. I hate to say that, but he was wrong. They don't give a rat's ass about the fucking embryos, zygotes, fetuses, etc. They don't. They don't care about anybody. Fuck them. They're fucking pro-death motherfuckers. They're fucking fuck.
Yeah. How many pregnant women have died of gunshot wounds in this country?
Too many.
Interesting statistic to look up there. How many pregnant women were killed during George W. Bush's invasion of Iraq?
Thank you.
Quite a few. I know of one incident.
Pro-death
right
penalty.
Away.
Yeah. These motherfuckers are pro-death. They're not pro-life. I mean, as much as I don't like the Catholic Church and their stance on many things, mm-hmm. when they are pro-life, they are fucking pro-life.
Yeah.
From the moment of conception until the day you naturally die. Yeah. They're against the death penalty and they're against abortion. And that to me at least is fucking consistent.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. But pro-life, politically speaking, in this country is maybe the most grievous lie in the history of American politics. I mean, other than all men are created equal. I think that was the most grievous lie at the time.
Oh, rich white men.
Yeah, exactly.
Landowners.
Yeah, yeah. So we have more to discuss with regard to Ted Cruz. Apparently, it took someone from Sky News to seriously challenge Ted Cruz. So we have that tape along with Ted Cruz's visible layer of slime. And then some new poll results that are promising for legislation that is never going to happen. I say it again. The end around in all of this is the culture, because people support this kind of shit. And what we have to do is we have to, like the Bumble Snow Monster and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, we have to remove the teeth from the gun industry. This is a retail empire in this country. Make no mistake. And Ted Cruz and all the others are the Ronald McDonalds, representing their interests and their interests alone. So we'll get into all of that here in just 1 second. But if the pandemic was a disaster for your finances, and maybe you were out of work and you racked up a big credit card balance, you probably upped all the balances on all of your credit cards. And if my guess is correct, you're paying the top allowable interest rate on that debt. So why not refinance your credit cards into a super low interest rate and save a ton of money every month? And here's exactly how. With Lightstream, you can roll your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. That's way lower than what you're paying now, which is probably around 19% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. And just for my listeners, you can apply right now and get a special interest rate discount to save even more. And the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Seska. That's LIGHTSTREM.com/CESCA. For your convenience, there is a link in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Seska for more information.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? or the friends you find along the way. Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one?
In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bob Seska!
On a stick. This is the great David Newbold, brand new music here on the show, and a brand new single. This is Ready for the Times to Get Better from his album Power Up. I believe this drops on June 9th. I could be wrong. It's not out yet. It's coming soon. DavidNewbold.com. Link in the description under this episode to support David's work. Perfect song for these times, for sure. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. All right. Ted Cruz was confronted by a reporter from Sky News. You have to go to England to find a reporter who's going to give these guys the shit they deserve. And this Sky News reporter did a nice job, I would say. Ted Cruz tried desperately at first. Listen, you know what? Listen at first to his utterly phony baloney sincerity. He is about as authentic as plastic novelty shit. That's about as authentic as Ted Cruz is. Here is Ted Cruz being confronted
by... As authentic and passionate as a kiss for your great aunt.
Exactly. Here's the slimy bastard.
19 sets of parents who are never going to get to kiss their child goodnight again.
Is this the moment to reform gun laws?
You know, it's easy to go to politics.
But it's important. It's at the heart of the issue.
I get that that's where the media likes to go.
No, it's not. It's where many of the people we've talked to here like to go.
The proposals from Democrats in the media, inevitably, when some violent psychopath murders people,
a violent psychopath who's able to get a weapon so easily. 18-year-old with two AR-15s.
If you want to stop violent crime, the proposals the Democrats have, none of them would have stopped this.
But why does...
Okay, let's pause right there. That's a lie. That's a big fucking lie. In Australia, there was a mass shooting. They implemented a gun buyback, mandatory gun buyback program, got assault weapons off the streets, and gun violence went down significantly, and mass shootings in particular disappeared in Australia.
Plenty of people in Australia still have, you know, rifles.
Yeah.
They have, like, hunting weapons.
Yeah.
But they don't have machine guns.
Right.
Somebody posted on a friend of mine's thing going, well, you know, it's not – it's semi-automatic. You have to actually pull the trigger. Yeah, but you don't have to reload it. You don't – the magazine is there. The bullet gets put back in the
chamber.
And thank you.
Yeah.
And you just have to pull the trigger. As fast as you can pull a trigger is as fast as you can shoot. And that's pretty fucking fast. Mm-hmm. And it's like – and the same thread was all about mental – you know, the mental thing that he's talking about. And it's like, you know what, motherfuckers?
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, there is no background check needed.
Nope.
You don't need to have any training. You don't need to have a concealed a permit to carry.
Nope.
You're only 18, so you can't even drink yet, by the way.
Yep.
But you can buy a weapon of death.
Mm-hmm.
And also what I found interesting was local law federal law cannot supersede Texas law when it comes to guns.
Yep.
That's the law in Texas. So, yeah, maybe a federal law wouldn't have helped Texas because Texas is a bunch of fucking assholes and don't give a rat's ass about the people that live there because they're letting people get shot up.
Mm-hmm.
End of statement. I mean, oh my fucking God. Yep. Ah!
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, here's more of this because I think this Sky News reporter kind of hits some of your points to Ted Cruz.
This only happened in your country. I really think that's what many people around the world just, they cannot fathom. Why only in America? Why is this American exceptionalism so awful?
You know, I'm sorry you think American exceptionism is awful.
I think this aspect of it.
You got your political agenda.
No, it's
God,
honestly,
God love you.
Senator, it's not. I just want to understand why.
He starts to wander away at this point, and the reporter chases after him.
You do not think that guns are the problem.
Why is this just an American problem?
It is just an American problem, sir.
Mr. Cruz, why is America the only country that faces this kind of mass shooting?
But you can't answer that. You can't answer that, can you, sir? You can't answer that. Why is this
country? Why is it that people come from all over the world to America? Because it's the freest, most prosperous, safest country on earth.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
It may be the freest. It may be the most
popular. Why are kids dying in America?
All right, there you go. Yeah, that's it. So good job to that Sky News reporter whose name I don't have in front of me, but you know, I think you can see it on
the backing him up too. Who was the woman?
Yeah, I don't know. I think she was an American reporter. She certainly had press credentials on a lanyard around her neck. That's what I remember seeing.
She could have been Canadian.
Yeah, it's possible too. She had a North American accent, that's for sure. Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Boehner. Meantime,
it's just the way he, like, did you see the obtuse barracuda that I posted on my Facebook page?
No.
It's some actual name for a species of barracuda, and it was frozen, and it was from Vietnam, and it was, 10 pounds of obtuse barracuda. I would prefer some querulous cod some mansplaining sea bass. But I just feel like Ted Cruz was being so fucking willfully obtuse when the guy says, why is this, an American exceptionalism in the worst way? And Ted Cruz just like completely skates through the actual subject matter of the question and says, I'm sorry you hate America.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you fucking disingenuous piece of in France they say merde du merde, which means when shit takes a shit. That's you.
thank you to the French for that one. That's awesome. I would say the American exceptionalism part is the only mistake that reporter made by going there. He kind of gave Ted Cruz a little bit of an out where he can make it, America's the greatest, safest place in the world to live. I mean, everyone comes here, don't you know? And you know what? No, everyone's terrified. Everyone knows. Outside of the United States, everyone knows that it's like the old West here. Oh, yeah, you can go and visit America. Be careful not to get caught in a crossfire. That's exactly what Republicans want with security guards and arming teachers and everything. They want to save the children by putting them in crossfire. It's insane.
But see, anyone who knows anything about combat, mm-hmm. about gun violence, about any of this knows.
Yeah.
That nobody has time to pull a gun and aim. In a situation like that, if you stand there long enough to draw a bead on someone and pull your gun out, you're a sitting duck. You're a target. And when the police do come, they don't know who the good guys and the bad guys are. Mm-hmm. They just see people with guns. You're going to get shot. It doesn't help.
No.
And the situations are so chaotic. Yeah. Introducing more firearms is absolutely, positively not the answer.
Well, the myth is getting reinvigorated now that having a gun in your home will not only protect you from a home intruder, but protect you from the cops. And bear in mind the statistics on this sort of thing, which is that having a gun in your home makes you susceptible to a home intruder getting your gun and shooting you with it, or your children getting your gun and shooting each other with it, or shooting you with it, or one of your children committing suicide with it. It's something that we probably shouldn't be mainstreaming again, this idea that having a gun in your house is a worthy means of protection. It's a disaster waiting to happen.
My dad had guns. He was military, but I mean, it was always...
Yeah, that's what I said before. He was a soldier, and it's appropriate for a soldier to have a gun. Absolutely.
Well, I'm sure you've heard this statistic, but now, humans from the age of 1 to age of 19 are more likely to be killed by guns than by car wrecks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that. In fact, Nick Kristof had that chart in his article. Mm-hmm. I thought it was all people are more likely to be killed.
No, it's children, that age group right now, because it used to be car accidents killed people up to 19 more than anything else.
Yeah.
And now it's gun violence, then car wrecks, then overdoses. I'm sure it's, I'm sure it can extrapolate out from there, but the statistic is kids are being killed by guns more than anything else, people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it ain't the people doing it, it's the fucking guns.
And I'm sure a lot of you have seen in your Twitter timelines, on your Facebook page or whatever, cars kill so many people every year. Why don't we ban cars? Well, you know what? Why don't we regulate guns the way we regulate cars and drivers for that matter?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yes, the list of regulations on auto manufacturers, you start there on the production line in terms of what can go into a car and what's not allowed in vehicles. Everything from the size of the cabin to the airbags to the brakes to the engine to the exhaust. All of that shit is heavily regulated. Drivers, I mean, for God's sake, the amount of time, how much time have we all spent in line at the DMV to get a new driver's license, to get our registration, all of it. Fine. You know what? You want to make the car comparison? Let's do with guns what we do with cars and drivers. So go fuck yourself.
The city of San Jose did pass a law stating that you have to have liability insurance if you own a gun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's a good idea.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's the only city in the country that has that. Hopefully the rest of California will follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mayoral election here. Go Karen Bass.
Yeah,
The health insurance companies are going to need something to do. After
they want, you know, them. What's funny is I doubt insurance companies would want to cover guns because, unlike a car or your home, those aren't designed to kill.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Guns only have one purpose.
And I'm sure insurance companies know the statistic here, according to Nick Kristof. Auto safety has reduced the rate of auto fatalities per 100 million miles driven by more than 90% since 1923.
Right.
That's how much, 90% decline in auto fatalities. That's pretty
And that's the other thing, like with drunk driving laws, those deaths have been curtailed.
Yeah.
Because people just lose their license, lose their cars, lose everything, go to prison. Especially California's got a really strict drunk, and it should be.
Yeah.
And also, we're not allowed to study gun violence as public. You know, the CDC and other public things are not allowed to study using taxpayer money gun violence and by law.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Mm-hmm. You know what else we have now? Regulations in terms of what teachers can and can't say to their students in classrooms in Florida about gay people. There was an amazing commencement address by a student in Florida who replaced the word gay with the words curly hair. So
Brilliant.
He could, so he could tell his story during his commencement address. I guess it was the valedictorian, I assume. And instead of saying gay, he had to say curly hair. But you know what? Right away, everyone got it. Everyone in the audience got it. Everyone understood what the hell he was talking about.
English
right?
major.
Yeah.
Sure, he must be.
But this is something that is a direct trampling of the free speech clause of the First Amendment. Yeah. It's the government of Florida saying you are not allowed to say these words in school from kindergarten through third grade. This is not allowed to happen in schools. So if they're willing to step all over the free speech clause of the First Amendment to regulate speech, but yet the Second Amendment is sacrosanct. We can't touch that. We can't have any regulations. It's got to be absolute. No matter how many guns you want, you can own them, and we're not going to stop you. That is the imbalance here. The focus is so much on that Second Amendment as a selling. It's a cheap gimmick now. They've reduced this amendment into a gimmick for selling firearms. It's like Subway sandwiches saying, oh, yes, it's fresh, so therefore it's healthy. Or Fred Flintstone back in the day advertising Lucky Strike cigarettes. That's how they're that's how they're playing the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is Fred Flintstone in the Lucky Strikes advertisements. Yeah. That's how pathetic it is. That's how much they revere the Second Amendment. It's become like a pitch line at the end of a commercial.
They don't even abide by the whole thing.
No, they don't.
You know, the it's just they see the words to bear arms and they're like,
And the Second Amendment is the only amendment that uses the word regulated.
Exactly. And thanks Antonin Scalia for destroying any opportunity to say, yeah, it's about a well-regulated militia. Justice Berger was saying that. But then Scalia comes along. He's like, no, it's an absolute right. No matter how many guns you want to have, Constitution says you can have them. Meantime, we're talking about that Sky News guy. CNN reporter Allison Camerota got a pretty good exchange here. She confronted a Republican Texas state representative who said gun reform is unnecessary because we should just convict the shooters.
What?
And then she replied, sir, you can't convict him. He was killed along with 19 children in the school behind me.
Good what the fuck does that? Are we going pre-crime now? I mean, what the fuck?
It's fucking awful. Yeah. We should just convict the shooters. Well, you know. Well,
yeah, if they live, sure. No problem.
Yeah.
And secondly, how do we know they're going to do that? How do we convict them ahead of time?
Yeah, yeah. Well, meantime, we've got the brand new Thoughts and Prayers. I want to talk about that here in just a second, plus some promising polling numbers. We'll get to all of that here in just a couple of seconds. But first, unlike some podcasts, we got a couple of commercial breaks in our shows. But here's the best way to listen to The Bob Seska Show without all of those commercials. Just go now to our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. Scroll down to the link for the ultimate edition of the podcast and sign up for just $15 per month. In exchange for your generous support, we're going to give you a completely commercial-free version of the Tuesday and Thursday shows. By the way, I'm adding the Wednesday show to the Ultimate Edition tier. So for those of you who sign up at $15 a month, you're going to get a commercial-free version of Tuesday's show, Wednesday's show, which up until this point hasn't happened. There's always been commercials, no matter where you're signed up on our Patreon page. But no more if you're signed up at $15 a month, the Ultimate Edition of the show, and of course the Thursday show. Plus, you know what else you're going to get on top of all of that? The Shadow Docket. That's going to be included as part of the audio file on Tuesdays and Thursdays. In other words, you're going to get one mega show with the free portion and the Shadow Docket combined, exactly how we record it, and no commercials in there. But wait, more dings. You're also going to get the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly Johnson included in that level of support, all for just 15 simoleons per month. Again, that's bobseskashow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Your friend John, we didn't have to look no more. You were the place that I'd go.
Yeah, hot off the presses. This is brand new Richard Turgeon. It's a song called Goodbye Home. It's a great one. Wouldn't be a month of music here on the show without a brand new single from Richard Turgeon. RichardTurgeon.bandcamp.com and RichardTurgeon.com. Link in the description, of course, to support all of our bands here. Please do. Please avail yourselves of our music selections here on the show. Okay, according to a new Politico Morning Consult survey, which was published in Thursday's edition of Politico Playbook, 73% of Americans strongly support requiring background checks on all gun sales, and another 15% somewhat support that measure. So we're talking about well beyond supermajority support for this. Mm-hmm. Can it get passed through Congress? No. A ban on assault weapons encountered a bit more pushback from the electorate, but still has widespread national support overall. The Politico Morning Consult poll found 53% strongly support an assault weapons ban, while another 14% somewhat support such a law. Just 25% either strongly or somewhat oppose a ban on assault weapons. The survey also showed near universal support for the prevention of gun sales to people who have been reported as dangerous to law enforcement by a mental health provider. In all, 84% either strongly or somewhat back that restriction, while only 9% strongly or somewhat oppose. Talk about people who are tone deaf, but the reason they're tone deaf is all of those $100 bills jammed in their ears, right?
Yep.
That's exactly it. They're Scrooge McDuck sized vaults filled with gold coins from the NRA. Russian money in there, too. It was one of the stories we heard over the Trump administration is that Russia was funneling all kinds of cash into the NRA, going into the pockets of the pro-Putin party. So that's it. Despite public support, we're like, no, fuck it. Fuck the public. We're going with this little tiny fringe death cult called the NRA. So the new thoughts and prayers. This is just a little bit of a side note in all of this. You want to talk about the height of cynicism? This is the height of cynicism from several members of Congress. So we all saw Mitch McConnell's reaction to what happened in Uvalde.
He said, piece of shit.
Horrified and heartbroken by reports of the disgusting violence directed at innocent school kids in Uvalde, Texas. Horrified and heartbroken is the new thoughts and prayers. Because you know what else we got? Kyrsten Sinema. We are horrified and heartbroken by the senseless tragedy unfolding at Robb Elementary School in Texas. Marsha Blackburn. Horrified and heartbroken to learn of the significant loss of life.
Tell me at least she spelled horrified with a W.
No, these wouldn't be misspellings. And you know why? Because they were probably copied and pasted off of talking points circulated amongst Senate members.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened here. They took horrified and heartbroken. There was either a meeting at some point in the past, or there was a page of talking points circulated in a Senate office building, said, okay, you know what? We're not going with thoughts and prayers anymore. Include in your social media messages the phrase, horrified and heartbroken.
You know, it sounds like a goth Hallmark shop. You know?
Yeah, that would be.
Get some Emily and her cats figurines over at Horrified and Heartbroken.
That's right. Instead of Hot Topic, they should just change the name to Horrified and Heartbroken.
Exactly.
Shit. Yeah, this is so cynical. They're like, oh, yeah, no one's gonna notice. No one's gonna notice that we all have horrified and heartbroken in our Uvalde tweets because we have nothing original to say. So copy paste. Control C, Control V, copy paste this right into Twitter, send. No one will notice. No one will notice that we all said horrified and heartbroken all at the same time, the same verbiage.
I almost feel like politicians, like real life people serving in the government, shouldn't be on Twitter at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge security risk. And people like shoot off at the hip and it's they have to devote their time to how their numbers are doing. And that's just devote your time to how policies are doing, not how how many likes and retweets you're. I
know exactly what you mean. In fact, I included that in my list of post-Trump reforms that I proposed. No more presidents on Twitter. Thank you very much. But presidents who spend their days doing nothing but rage tweeting on Twitter, fuck that. You want to talk about an element that completely destabilized America? It was those tweets by Donald Trump. I get that we need to pay attention. And I've pushed this idea for a long time. We need to pay attention to what he's saying. He's the leader of this movement, at least for now.
Yes, he is.
So we have to follow what it's be like. OK, well, I'm not going to pay attention to what Hitler's saying, but we have to. You know what I mean? But at the same time,
it's a weird balance, though.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I've been wanting to write about, but I can't quite figure it out. Do you guys know what a morcellator is?
No. No. What is that?
It was a medical device that's illegal now, but it was like a tumor removal device for uterine tumors in women, which are mostly fibroids, but sometimes malignant. And it would just basically tear the little tumors to shreds and then count on the body's circulatory and endocrine system to just take the refuse away.
I see.
So you shred up a malignant tumor and you send it off through the glandular system. It sets up malignancies all through the body.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they didn't really test these or anything because, medical devices, it's just women's bodies. Why do research? Yeah. Thousands of women were, given metastatic cancer by these devices.
Ugh.
But I kind of feel like as journalists sometimes, that's what we're doing with Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
That we're even as we try to analyze and take apart the contagion, we're still spreading it.
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys see that Trump evidently loved the idea of hanging Mike Pence? Says here, according to New York Times, this is Maggie Haberman and Luke Broadwater, shortly after hundreds of rioters at the Capitol started chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows left the dining room off the Oval Office, walked into his own office and told colleagues that Trump was complaining that the vice president was being whisked to safety. Mr. Meadows, according to an account provided to the House committee, then told the colleagues that Mr. Trump said something to the effect of, "Maybe Mr. Pence should be hanged."
Yep.
I hope that testimony is part of the two primetime hearings.
I have a feeling, because apparently there are three witnesses to that, not just.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently three people, Mike Pompeo talked about it, and three people are witness to that. And because this isn't a criminal trial, you can have hearsay all you want.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm seeing here another witness, Cassidy Hutchinson, is a former aide to Mr. Meadows, who was present in the office when he recounted Mr. Trump's remarks, was asked by the committee about the account and confirmed it, according to the people familiar with the panel's work. So the president of the United States wanted the vice president to be hanged by a mob on Capitol Hill.
Well, we still don't know who built the fucking gallows. It's not like you can just bring it in on the back of your mini.
And by the way, those gallows don't look like they could hang anything.
Doesn't matter.
Couldn't hang your laundry on that thing.
Who cares? It was still.
The symbol is there.
Exactly. Still. Yeah. Well, the idea.
Incidentally, guys, it just started to really pour down rain here, and there's far off thunder. So if I suddenly go offline or you hear something that sounds like a big clap of thunder, it's thunder.
Okay. So we shouldn't be concerned that you're going to get hit by lightning or something like that?
No, I'm not that close to the window.
All right. Meantime, some more bad news for Donald Trump. Trump lost his appeal and now has to testify in the Letitia James investigation. Wonderful news here out of New York. I always love when Trump loses. It's always a good day. America wins whenever Trump loses. America wins when Ted Cruz loses. Yeah.
The argument
America
that he
wins whenever Trump loses an eye.
Exactly. Just loses. The argument that he and his children had were, well, we shouldn't have to testify because this could be used in a criminal court.
Yeah.
Okay, then just plead the fifth.
Right.
Just plead the fifth, dudes. It doesn't mean you have to incriminate yourself one little itty bit.
He's going to use the old Trump standby, which is, I don't recall.
Oh, he's terrible in depositions. Have you ever seen them?
Oh, he's squirmy and pissed looking. And it's a lot of, I don't recall. In fact, that's Don Jr.'s favorite phrase in the world, other than, "More Coke, please."
John Sr., I mean, Trump is looking like the pictures I've been seeing over the last few days out of Mar-a-Lago and stuff. He really is looking worse and worse and worse. And like he needs a haircut. Like he's got that shaggy ass, like ash colored, like sticking out of the back of his MAGA hat.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. And you can always tell like a really, really vain person because everything that faces the mirror they've paid way too much attention to, but like from behind they're a total disaster.
Right. I still believe that he's got like a big piece of cardboard with a hole cut out of the middle of it, and he sticks his face in the hole and then sprays his face with the bronzer. The spray tan on his face. That's why in that one picture of him with his hair blowing back.
The Acme bronzer reader.
Yeah, you can see the white rim around his face where the bronzer ends and the regular Trump skin begins. It's almost like a mask on his face. Yeah.
That's just not having a gay makeup artist who knows how to blend. You know?
Exactly.
By the way,
got some woman named Janelle from Texas. She didn't know how to blend those edges.
Also, we have election fraud. We found actual election fraud. And guess what? Once again, not the Democrats.
It's Republicans.
Yes, exactly. Michigan Elections Bureau says the GOP frontrunner for governor and four others are now ineligible for the ballot due to fraudulent and invalid petition signatures. Oh, that's a... That's too bad, I know, so sad.
We were so close to that ticking Scott Walker off the ballot in Wisconsin, but he made it by like 10 signatures or something.
Oh, yeah, I know. But we'll have to accept this. We'll have to accept this for now.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Once again, Republicans are engaged in election fraud. They're the pro-election fraud party, the pro-Putin party, the pro-terrorism party. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Yep. Good God, it's not that difficult. And you know what else? They're the pro-sexual assault party. Don't let them try to tell you that liberal gay men are indoctrinating people and indoctrinating kids, when in fact every fucking story of a public politician or someone peripheral to the Republicans ends up getting convicted of child molestation, child porn, sexual assault. Yeah.
That train ain't never late.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Josh Duggar coming up on the Shadow Docket portion of the show.
Ooh. He did Duggar.
Yes, so that's coming up next on our Patreon page. So when you're done listening to the free portion of the show, go over to bobseskashow.com. Scroll on down and you'll see a thing that says $5 a month, the Shadow Docket shows. You click that link and you put in your information, and then you can download the Patreon app, or you can just listen right on the desktop version of the site at bobseskashow.com to the Shadow Docket. It's like the third act of the show, so you don't want to miss it. You know the pitch. There it is. It's all the rest of the shit that we didn't get to on the free portion of the show. So today that's going to include, as I said, Josh Duggar, which means I'm going to pull out an old bit that we like to play every time Josh Duggar is in the news. Plus, some bad news out of Georgia, your home state, David. Trump.
What do we do?
Oh, we'll get to it. Trump v. Kellyanne Conway. Believe it or not, that's also happening. And let's see what else. Economic news and yet another example of the Trumps getting away with something awful. This would be the Donald Trump Jr. hunting story.
Oh, God.
Because fuck him. Yeah, sociopath. Yeah, yeah. That and a whole lot more happen on our Patreon page. By the way, if you sign up at $10 a month, you not only get the Shadow Docket shows, but you also get the after party on Fridays that happens tomorrow. Me and Kimberly Johnson, my girlfriend, we have sex in the refrigerator, and then we do the after party.
Yes, you do.
Wild sex. Okay, see you over there, folks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Not in the refrigerator, Patreon page. That's what I was saying.